You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today, we'll be going to the archives to hear a presentation by Eula Allen on stimulating intuition through meditation. Eula Allen worked with the ARE and received several readings from Edgar Cayce. She is the author of the Creation Trilogy, which includes Before the Beginning, The River of Time, and You Are Forever.
First thing, let's kind of take this subject apart and see now what meditation is first. Stimulating intuition through meditation. So let's take what we already have, what was given to us, what has been passed on by the readings. You know, in that book, Search for God, I don't know of any better way to learn to meditate than through the direction given through the Search for God in the first chapter on meditation. So now, let's just take this and see what meditation is. Webster says, to meditate means to dwell on anything in thought, to turn or revolve any subject in the mind. That's what Webster says about it. Now then, Search for God and the readings, which Search for God is taken from the readings and is a textbook, for those of you who are familiar with it, a textbook that was done by Group 1 through their study of years of meditation. And the definition that it gives, meditation is the emptying of ourselves of all that hinders the creative force from rising along the natural channels of our physical bodies to be disseminated through the sensitive spiritual centers in our physical bodies. When meditation is properly entered into, we are made stronger mentally and physically. He went in the strength of the meat received for many days. That's from the Bible, telling of the Master. Meditation is not musing or daydreaming, but attuning our mental and physical bodies to their spiritual source. It is arousing the mental and spiritual attributes to an expression of their relationship with their Maker. This is true meditation. Meditation is prayer from within the inner self and partakes not only of the inner physical man, but of the soul aroused by the spirit from within. In prayer, we speak to God. In meditation, God speaks to us. So now, when we meditate, what are we doing? We're attuning this physical body to our divine source. We'll have a little bit more about it here a little bit later. Now, intuition, Webster says, is the truth of things immediately, discerned immediately and without reasoning. A truth discerned by the mind directly as so. Intuition. And it can come as a flash of insight. It can come in dreams or in hunches, in meditation. Now, when you say meditation helps you with all of the other ways in which it comes. Meditation is the true manner we have found to attune the body. And the rules are laid down how to attune the body through the readings that have been given by Mr. Cayce. And it is about the most well-balanced manner to attune the physical body that I have ever come across. Now I'm going to take, in giving this on intuition, and we're not going to call it so much intuition as the greater awareness. I like that. A greater awareness. It's not something that just happens. It's something that you build a capacity for, to be able to do. in the beginning, in the early. Now, I'm not going to say that word that he said. I'm going to say in the early Atlantean period, all souls in the earth plane were able to converse with each other at distance with mental telepathy, which is another form of it. They were able to discern anything that they wanted to from a distance. They didn't have to hear. They didn't have to speak. They didn't have to see. They had a common knowledge, a way of attuning. They were part of it, and they knew themselves to be a part of all that was around them. We lost that power when we stepped down from our great home in God. We lost that power. We laid it down. And the further we went into materiality, the less and less we used it. Until now, it's become a kind of a wonderful thing to be able to be intuitive enough to find out things before they happen or when they're happening. It is an unusual thing, when really and truly it is part of our heritage. It's part of us to be intuitive. So let's think about it in a greater awareness. Now, the readings say listening to God. That's meditation. When we meditate, we seek to be quiet. Webster says you dwell on anything in thought, or turn it over, or revolve any subject in the mind. We seek to be quiet. Well, then how do we get across the thing that we're trying to meditate on? Along with meditation goes prayer. You cannot separate the two. One, you're speaking to God, and the other one, God is speaking to you. So when we, before we meditate, we say our prayers. We pray, and in our prayers, Jesus said, before you ask God for anything, go and make peace with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So there's quite a little preparation goes on then in prayer to prepare one for the right type of meditation, to bring in the right type of intuition, the right type of awareness, the right type of mental telepathy. All these things are part of the intuitive powers of the soul, a part of the psychic, we call it psychic phenomena, soul phenomena. Now, Judy Chandler, in one of her searchlights that she wrote here, expressed this very wonderfully. She says, a greater awareness which made the achievement of this man, Edgar Cayce, possible, not just because of his particular demonstration of it, but because it is one of the most important factors in the evolution of each and every one of us. In fact, every stage in the long process of soul growth brings with it an increased awareness of our powers and how to use them. The true nature of our being and our relationship to each other and to the universe. Nor is this greater awareness related only to the increase of our psychic functions. The development of our fourth dimensional faculties with the accompanying expansion of perception, but more importantly related to attunement to the still small voice within. Who is that still small voice? That is what we listen for in meditation. And if we are properly adjusted, we hear that still small voice. The still small voice within, which is the informing intelligence of the overself, guiding and protecting us on the path of our spiritual evolution. Now, to me, there are times when you are not able to listen to that still small voice. Then you know when you can't hear that still small voice. Some people call it their conscience. Their conscience is speaking to them. When your conscience doesn't speak to you, then you know you are not properly attuned. And that's a good way to know when there's some more work that has to be done. It might be that you, your diet hasn't been, good for proper, balanced meditation. It might be such a thing as you're harboring anger or harboring malice or hate or those things. They all come in and bear an influence and bring in and influence the type of meditation that you have or the type of intuition that comes to you. Now, you say, well, do you always get that intuition in meditation? Well, now, some people probably do. I think that probably Mr. Casey did.
We'll be right back with more with Eula Allen on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Eula Allen.
There's lots of times when I meditate for hours and hours and it seems like nothing happens. But there are things then that you can do. Now, I prompt myself oftentimes when I can't get the answers to things. I prompt myself when I go to bed. I go to bed, I say my prayers, get my house cleaned out from the day, and then I lie there and meditate on the things that I want to understand, the things that I want to know about. Well, possibly it'll be maybe a week, maybe the next morning when I wake up, it comes through. When I wake up, maybe it doesn't come through for a week or 10 days. Maybe I'll be standing at the sink washing dishes or out in the garden digging in the dirt, and all at once it comes in. Well, intuition, I would say, awareness. The answer has been given. You see, the answers are always there for us if we just accept them. I want to tell you of a little experience that came to me the other night. The reading said, that which ye have found to be good, that share with others. Now, this was an experience that happened to me the other night, and I don't think I'll ever be quite the same. I'm not too much of an intuitive person, but sometimes I don't think I'm any more than all of you. And everyone is more or less, has more or less of intuitive powers if you just use them. But you become aware of them, and then you start to use them, and then they start to function. Well, we have one of our number who's very ill in the hospital. And so we keep her on the prayer list, and we pray for her, and she has been most ill. So her daughter called me night before last, and she said, Mother asked that you call everybody and say a particular prayer for her tonight because she has taken a very bad cold and she's very ill. So I called all those that I could get in touch with and asked them to pray for her. So there are times when you feel like you have to go a step further. And this time I felt like I had to go two or three steps further. So I said, all right, this time I'm going to get on my knees. Most of the time I get in my bed and say my prayers from there. But this time I thought, well, I have to get on my knees this time and make it really emphatic. So I got down on my knees and got my prayers all said to clear away anything that might stand in the way. Well, these things come to you, this awareness comes to you oftentimes in pictures. So I had no more than said, I believe in angels a lot. They're messengers of God. And so I said, please, Lord, send a host of angels to her to bear her up and carry her through the night. And it was before I even got the thought presented, somewhere the master spoke and he said, I'll send my own mother. And I saw that instant Mary, before he had finished saying it, I saw Mary at the foot of the bed. with her hands out like that. And I had the most relieved feeling because I had made certain preparations in order to attune to that. Now, I might try that again 1,000 times or maybe 1,000,000 times and never have it. At that particular time, and I was noticing in the readings when I was preparing this lesson, it said, when you are interceding for someone else, that's when you become the most aware. I had for a moment forgotten who I was and pushed myself aside. Now, that's what happened with Mr. Casey all the time. That's where all these readings came from. Psychic phenomena. Soul forces at work. Everybody has them. All you do is learn how to use them. Now, the physical body then, you know, comes into this. So let's see what the physical body has to do about this. And this is also from Search for God. We must find that which to our consciousness is the best way of purifying body and mind before attempting to enter into meditation. In raising an image of that through which we are seeking to know the will of the creative force, actual creation takes place within us. Now, what is that actual creation? It is that Christ force within each individual attuning itself to his will, to his mind, moving your own will aside. And that Christ force, which is your own birthright and which you have within you, is reaching out and attuning to his mind. And so it brings in a creative force. But in order to do that, you must attune the body. When we have found a way to cleanse our bodies, now every single one of you have a different way of meditation, a different preparation that you have to make. In order to, there are just as many ways of meditation as there are people. And so you find your own particular way to meditate. I lie on the bed most of the time, but this time I thought, well, I'll go 2 or 3 steps and get on my knees. And when we have found a way to cleanse our bodies so that it is to be raised, it finds full measure of expression within, and we can readily understand how healing of every nature may be disseminated by thought. When we have cleansed ourselves in the manner that is to us the best, there will be no fear that our experience will become so overpowering that they will cause any physical or mental disorder. It is when there is no cleansing that entry into such a state brings disaster or pain or disease. You find people who are not in the Christ consciousness, but they are more or less psychic. They have an awareness of things, but they are not aware of the Christ within them. Those are the people that you know that become psycho cases. They do not have anything to balance them, anything to guide them. And the readings told us over and over again, seek first the Christ. Surround yourself with the powers of beauty and grace and love that surround the throne. And then enter in. And in that manner, he goes with you, he protects you, he holds you up, and you don't get into any difficulties. Now, I don't think I ever knew of Mr. Casey ever giving a reading that he didn't pray first. Cleared himself of all things that are a worldly nature and approached it through the proper channel because Jesus said, I'm the truth and I'm the life and the way and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And how do you go to the Father? You go to him in prayer. You go to him in meditation. So keep the channel open and clean. Now then, how do you judge your psychic information? Well, now then, let's take a look at this. Now, here is the Lord's Prayer up here, really. This is the glandular system of the physical body. And most of you all know what this all means, where all these glandular centers are centered. They are the seven ductless glands in the physical body that mesh with the material. It's just like if this was an electric line, power, current, and this was a receptacle. It's just like they plug in, like this. It's where the soul forces plug into that which is material. That's why they are ductless glands. Now, the first one, which is the pituitary gland, when you say your Lord's Prayer, you say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And that one is in the center of your forehead. Now, why are we giving this Lord's Prayer? It's the manner that I know of to attune yourself to the God force within you. Because he said to his disciples, he said, Now, when you pray likewise. And then he gave the Lord's Prayer. So when you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, it rings a bell right here. And if you'll stop and you'll think about that a little bit, you'll feel its pulsation there. In other words, most of the time, he's down here in the love gland, in the heart, where he keeps your body functioning all the time. But when you open this door, which is the seat of the will or the thyroid, and ask him to come up here, that is the Holy of Holies. And he meets you in the highest physical gland in the physical body, which is in the center of the forehead, and the ancients call that the all-seeing eye. And at the early Atlantean period, they had that all-seeing eye. They didn't have two eyes. They didn't look both ways. They had one, and it was up here. And they could move that by any place in the physical body. They could move that eye. It was the all-seeing eye. When you turn to that gland and our Father to meet him in the Holy of Holies, where do your eyes automatically go? They go right back to there. It's where, again, you are becoming aware. You're meeting him there, and he is the all-knowing, the all-seeing. And so, you are reestablishing that all-seeing eye again in the center of your forehead. And someday we'll have it again. It may be not in the form of an eye, because we have two eyes now. One looks one way and one looks the other. And we're all wearing glasses, so we don't see too well even with those.
We'll be right back with more with Eula Allen on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Eula Allen.
Our Father who art in heaven, this is heaven, state of consciousness, the consciousness of a God force within us. Hallowed be thy name. All right, who named the name in the earth plan? Jesus Christ, didn't he? He became the name. He named the name in the earth. And so, you're attuning that land then to his state of consciousness. Because you have opened the door or the will here, which is the thyroid, this love gland rises up through there and seeks itself in the Holy of Holies. Now then you have then the thymus gland here, which is the and hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then you go clear down. Now, what is this gland down here? This is the organs of reproduction, and this is the root of the tree of life, or that's spoken of in the first book of the Bible. The tree of life, the one that we buried down there, that we took it from its highest stage up here, and we put the tree of life down the lowest gland in the physical body. That's where the roots are. That's where the life force dwells, within the roots of the tree of life. Well, now, why are we talking about this tree of life? We're talking about it because we have to raise this force. We have met the Father. We have gone through the name. And then it says, go all the way down to the roots and take it down to the lower part of the tree of life. And it's as the motor that starts lifting that
spiritual force within the body. The, some of the other Eastern religions call it the serpent fire, the kundalini, and all those things. It's the same thing that we think about when we bring the Christ force down. And then we start to lift it, and we lift it back up to the adrenal gland, or the balance gland. It's in the center, and it is the balance. The life force is the bread, which is the earthy. So we lift it up here, and we gain the balance, and then we take it back down here to the Leiden gland, which is the seat of the soul. And after it comes to the Leiden gland, you forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, because it is the seat of the soul, and the soul does have the debt. So forgive us our debt, and lead us not into temptation, because the gonads are the temptations where we fell in the beginning, in the garden. So get us away from all those temptations, the earthly part of us. Leave it, spiritualize it, clean it, make it ready, because we have to lift the life force from the depths in which it is, in the earth of it, and lift it back up here and present it to God in order to gain back these powers that we had in the beginning. And so we lift it back up then, and back up through into the heart, which is the love gland. And through love, then, if we open the door again here through the will and get our will out of the way, then we're ready to, for thine is the power. Who is the power in the earth? We have it back up here to him whose name we claim. The Christ force in the earth, or the power. Then, and who's the glory? Who in the beginning gave us the power to do all these things? Now that is the procedure through which the readings have given us for the proper setting of meditation. And when we have lifted that power and back up and spiritualized it and left it here with the Christ, then we have and brought it, let it pour over into the cup of the Father here. Then we have a force that we can turn for healing, for creative purposes in any manner, so long as our will is out of the way. Now that is constructive way to prepare yourself for meditation. Then you're perfectly balanced. It brings the body, it brings the mind, and it brings the soul into perfect balance. And then you're ready to begin to meditate, to bring back to yourself again the powers that you had in the beginning, that you laid down. Now then, when you have these powers back, and you have, all right, now, Lord, what do I want? Now then, you begin to work with these forces. In meditation, more than at any other time, we become conscious of the forces. As you sit there, you're conscious of your body going this way, this way, or sidewise. The forces playing through the physical body, rates of vibration. We refer to them as psychic, occult, intuitive, universal, and so on. These are only names designating the various functions of God. Let us consider, for an example, intuitive forces that rise from experience of our whole being. Those who, be constant, by constant introspection, are able to bring to the surface their experiences as a whole are called sages or lamas. When this ability has been made practical by an individual and yet remains spiritual in aspect, such an individual becomes a master. That doesn't mean you're always a master. It means that there are times, maybe, when you reach target, but we're just everyday, ordinary people reaching toward that high place that we had in the beginning. And so that, to me,
seems to be one of the very best methods of meditation. And I've read lots of them, and I haven't found a better one than this. Now then, in this meditation, a voice speaking to an individual is a manifestation of an awakening within self of the abilities to associate, connect, and communicate with those influences from without self. Then, as given of old, if there be held and magnified within the consciousness of the self, the desire for that voice, that presence, which would aid in bringing the various consciousnesses to self, the experience will be from the universal influence or from his messengers. Magnify this in self and for self. Be mindful that it be not closed in some other power. That is one of the things that the readings stress to so much. Now, if you're going to meditate, and if you're going to go into this deeply, prepare yourself well. I remember in reading the second Atlantean reading that was asked for by Mr. Casey. They had given one very fine reading, so they asked for another one. And it said, we would not give this reading because the information that would come through from this particular time and experience would be too hard on this body until this body was cleansed. And then said, well, what should I do? So I said, prayer and meditation, usual thing. So when we open ourselves, now what are we opening ourselves to? Let's talk about that a little. See this line around here. There are your universal forces we're playing in there. In that envelope of the universals that are playing around it, what do you have? You have all the activity that's in the earth and all around the earth. Because we are in the earth, about 700 miles into it. Because this is dense down here, and this isn't dense up here. It's the difference between water and steam. But we're still in the earth. And the forces, the planetary influences, are pouring into this envelope. The soul forces that are those souls who have not gone on yet, that are still around the earth, earthbound, you call them, and they're trying to communicate. All these things, when your centers are open, can flood in here. Or if you don't have some type of protection. That's what happens to people when they get possessions. Many people who are very sincere people, meditating, the centers open as a natural action. But what comes in? Anybody can talk to you. It's just the same as because these things are there and we don't see them and we don't hear them and we're not aware of them doesn't mean that they aren't in existence. It's the same thing as you go downtown here and the automobiles are going this way. People are walking up and down the street. Same thing in this universal consciousness thing. All the things that were and are and have been are all here. And we are just like a radio. What are we going to pick up out of that? So we have to determine within ourselves, now what do I want to become aware of? What do I want to know?
We'll be right back with more with Eula Allen. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Eula Allen.
What do I want to know? And now that can be detrimental in lots of other ways. Now I'll tell you a little experience that Harold, that's my husband and I, had during the war. We were working with mental telepathy, and we were all wrapped up in this mental telepathy thing, and it was just fascinating. So we decided that we would, while he was gone, away, he was out on a ship, and while he was away, we would have a certain time every Sunday evening at 9 o'clock when we would get off by ourselves and we would try to communicate with each other. So Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well,
it was opened unto us. I didn't know where he was. Of course, you know, at that time, we weren't allowed to know where a ship was, the position of it. And he had been gone about 4 or 5 months, I guess, and I really would have liked to know where he was. So that night, I thought, I'll try to ask you where I am and see if you can tell me. So I laid down on the couch at 9 o'clock and got myself all fixed and all prepared. I hadn't any more than asked the question. And here I thought all the time he was attached to the Atlantic Fleet. I thought he was out here someplace, or maybe over in Europe or someplace. That's what I really thought. I hadn't any more than gotten on the couch, laid down, got my mind quiet, until I saw that he was on the Pacific Coast. Now, if he was here, he'd verify this. He was on the Pacific coast, and he was on the Pacific side, but he was down in Central America. And I saw the position of the ship, so I got up, and I drew a map where the ship was. I saw there was a river coming down, and there was a city around in the sort of a bend like this, and where the ship position was in this bay. So I drew the map, and then I thought, well, now, what could that be? And then answer immediately came back to me, Costa Rica. Never thought of it, him being Costa Rica, Pacific side. So I just, we would send them, we'd send back what we got, we'd send back and forth to each other. So I just put this map and sent it to him, and it got by the censor, and he got it. And he said if he had drawn the map himself, it wouldn't have been any more perfect. Exactly. Well, that began to work both ways then. Evidently, I was the stronger one, and so I began to impinge on his will or his personality, and it began to trouble him. Then the next week, I saw him, and he was sitting out on the dock on a nail keg, and I saw him slip a cigarette into the water, and I heard gossoon. So I wrote that to him. And he began to get upset. He didn't like that too well. So we quit mental telepathy, and we haven't bothered with it since. So those things you watch, don't upset anybody with the things you do. Don't, if you, tell you another little incident that happened to our house. Now this is premonition, but it's the same thing. It's becoming aware. And I'm not any more aware than you people, other than I just asked and I received. Laurie, that's our son. He and I have always been able to talk back and forth with each other, sometimes when we wanted to, sometimes when he didn't want to. And this time, it was a year ago last spring, and he had an orchestra. And so on Saturdays and sometimes on Friday evenings, while the kids would have a jam session. He was going to school, and they'd have a jam session. Well, this was long Friday afternoon, and I was working out in the garden. And all at once, I saw this automobile wreck. And I saw Laurie and two other boys. One of them, I thought he had two friends. One's name was Larry and one was Randy. And I thought that it was Larry and Randy. And so when he came, I thought, he's going to have an automobile wreck. Well, he'll just not go out tonight. That's what happened, because this was Friday night. So when he came home from school, I saw him coming, and I just walked out to meet him. I said, no, you can't go. Now, don't even ask, because you aren't going. He said, how do you know where I want to go? I said, well, I just know you're not going, and that's that. You're grounded for tonight.
Well, it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Allison Ray, my wife. Well, hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. And what's today's thought for the day?
Today's thought for the day is a long one. It's 1158-14. Yet, as we look into the infinity of space and time, we realize that there is then that force that influence also that is aware of the needs, and there is also that will, that choice given to the souls of men that they may be used, that they may be one, that they may apply same in their own feeble, weak ways, perhaps. Yet that comes to mean, comes to signify, comes to manifest in the lives of those that have lost their way. That very influence ye seek in the knowledge of God. For until ye become as a Savior, as a help to some soul that has lost hope, lost its way, ye do not fully comprehend the God within, the God without.
And what does that mean to you?
Oh, this is a beautiful one, and it's kind of intense, but to me, what it's about is that we, each one of us, have the ability to help somebody and to help return hope to somebody. And even if we're like having a really, really bad time of things, that there's always somebody along the way that we can help. And by helping them, we actually will feel better ourselves. Sometimes I know for me, when I'm doing things for other people, I can think, oh, well, it just wasn't enough. You know, I don't have millions of dollars to give. So in our own weak way, perhaps just knowing that we're helping somebody else is enough. So it's not about how much we're able to do. It's just that God gives us all something that we can do and that we do what we can. And that's what's important to God.
Wow. Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thank you for listening to Eula Allen's presentation on stimulating intuition through meditation. To find out more, go to edgarcasey.org. Thanks also to Allison Ray for the thought for the day. And most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey.